Alright, we're beginning here, six lines down on the top of Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara here is trying to explain the Mishnah. We've had one attempt so far by Rabba Barula, and now we're going to have an attempt by five other cases of the Amoraim trying to explain the Mishnah. The deficit or the problem in the Mishnah is that it starts out a kol shochatim, which Gemara reads as being lechatchila, and then it says ushchitatan ksheira, which is a lashon bidiavad. You have to explain why the Mishnah speaks in a Lashon L'chatchila and Bidiavad. What's the difference between those two statements? Then the second statement of the Mishnah, which is about Chereshot V'Katan being disqualified. Then there's a third statement of the Mishnah, which is Im Acherim Omdim Al Gaban. If somebody's standing over them, watching them, then there's also Shchitatan Kshera. So those are the three parts of the Mishnah. And each one of the Amoraim is trying to give explanation to those three parts of the Mishnah. So we saw yesterday Rabba Bar Ula, who said that a kol shochatim lechatchila is a tamei. Someone who is tamei can shecht chulin. Even chulin shenasu atarat kodesh, they can shecht lechatchila. Bidiabad, the shchitan kshera, is when we're speaking about kodoshim. So that someone who's tamei that goes to shecht kodoshim, he's only allowed to do that bidiabad. There we're fearful of him coming into contact with the kodoshim. Even though he's using this long knife and he's not necessarily going to touch it, we worry about it there. And then, chutz micher shoteh v'katan, we worry about them, period. No matter what the circumstances are, we worry about them because of a kashrut standpoint. We're afraid that they won't do the shkita properly. And then, the last part of the Mishnah of kulan sheshachtu, v'cherim roim otam, that's tamei, by muktashim. If, after the fact, we don't have him here to ask him what happened, then if there were people watching him and they say that he never came into contact with the item, then we believe that the item is kasher, it is not tamei, and you can go ahead and be makriv that korban. So that's the way that Rabba Bar Ula explained it. And now we have Abaye's explanation. Abaye Amar, Hochiktani. Abaye says, this is what is meant. Akol shochatim vafilu kuti. That anybody can do shkita, even a kuti. When is that true? Kish Yisrael made al gabav. That's when a Jew is standing over him, hovering over him, ensuring that the shechita is done properly. But if the mashkiach, quote unquote, is going in and out, even though in other circumstances that would be sufficient for what we call mirtat, to engender enough fear in the individual that they won't deviate from what they're supposed to do, over here that is not sufficient. V'im shachat. If b'diavad he did do a shkita, chotech zayit basar, benotein lo, if he did the shkita and we did not see him do the shkita, then we cut off because zayit basar, we give it to him. Achalo, if he eats it, mutar lechom mishkitato, then you can eat from his shkita. Lo achalo, if he does not eat it, asur lechom mishkitato, then you can't eat from the shkita. This relates to an issue that comes up with the kutim. The Kutiyim have a checkered past, both in the Tanakh as well as in the Gemara. As to what is the status of a Kuti? Is a Kuti a Geri Emet, were they converts and true converts and full-fledged Jews? Or were the Kutiyim Geri Arayot, were they converts because of the pressure, the problems that they were facing with the lions, which is described in Melachim Bet? Melech Ashur, after he put the Aseret HaShvatim into Galut, he did exchanges of populations. So he moved the Jews out to places in Ashur, and he brought peoples from the areas of Ashur to the Shomron to inhabit those areas, maybe to be put them into Galut as well. But the idea of exchanging populations is so that you're off kilter, you're not comfortable, the likelihood of you rebelling is much lower, but you don't want to leave the areas uninhabited. They brought in these individuals, which included but otherwise known as the Shomronim, but other nations that were there. And they had a problem. The problem was that they were getting attacked by the lions of the mountains of Shomron. And there was a belief in that time that there was what's called Elokei Haaretz, the god of the land, that each land had its god. And if you didn't service the god of that land, then you would be subject to his wrath. And so here they were coming from a foreign area. They didn't know how to service the local god. And therefore they are lacking knowledge of how to deal with Elokei Haaretz. So they bring or import a Kohen from Ashur, a Jew, who was a Kohen prior to being put into Galut, and they bring him back to teach them how to worship Hashem. So then they supposedly convert in order to prevent the problem of the lions attacking them. And so there are questions that surround that conversion as to whether it was a genuine conversion or they just did it because of the pressures that were brought upon them because of the lions killing them, but they really didn't do it. And the pasuk itself there says that despite the fact that they converted, that Elokei Haaretz, the gods of the lands that they left, they worshipped, and they worshipped Hashem. That basically they had a dual allegiance to the gods from the lands they left, as well as to the god of the new land where they came to. So the pasuk itself speaks about that precarious position. And in Chazal, there's machloket in the Tanaim, and then later in the Amoraim, as to what the status of the Kutim are. It's clear here that, obviously, they believe that the Kutim are here when they kept halachot, as Rashi says. As long as they believed in that mitzvah, hikziku ba, yoter mi Yisrael. They did something, and they believed in something, they did it to the utmost. And so therefore, since we believe that the Kutim hold of Shechita here, according to this view of Abaye, therefore, if they do Shechita, we can assume they do it correctly. The problem is that they don't have a restriction of Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Michshol. They read that pasuk literally, don't put a stumbling block before a blind person. They do not subscribe to Torah Sheba'al Peh or Chazal's interpretation, that means that you're not allowed to cause someone else to do an Aveira. So over here, if they shech the animal and it's not kosher, they could hand you a non-kosher animal and they would have no compunction about you eating the vela because it's not their problem. And so even though they themselves would not eat from it, they have no problem giving it to you to eat and having you eat something that's not kosher. So therefore, the solution to that problem is you hand him a piece of meat to eat. So if he eats from his own shechita, then we know that for sure his shechita was good. So here the two stages, according to Abaye, are that if a chuti comes to shech, if someone is watching him, if there's a Yisrael standing over him and watching him, that will be sufficient to have it be that the shechita is kshera legamre. That's lechatchila. If there's nobody standing over him, and bidiavad, after the fact, we find the animal shechted by the kuti, it's not enough that you had a yotze v'nichna, somebody was coming in and out, or if there was nobody there at all, none of those are sufficient in order to say that this shechita is kshera. And the only way to test it is after the fact, is to hand him the meat to eat, to see if he eats it. If he eats it, then that's testimony to the fact that the shechita was a good shechita. Because we believe that he knows shechita. We believe that he would do a proper shechita. We're just questioning whether he actually did a good shechita, because he has no problem with handing you the non-kosher meat. So for that reason, we handed him it to eat. Obviously, the assumption here is the fact that he's shechting for other people. Because if he's shechting for himself, there's no question that he would only do it if the shechita was proper. The assumption here is that he's shechting for other people. And in that case, you have to worry about whether he's motzi nevelot mitachad yado. He allows non-kosher animals to go out because he doesn't care so much about that. The second thing is, why don't we use this a priori as the test? Why don't we say, let him shech, and we'll give him to eat. And if he eats, then everything will be fine. Why do we have to only do that bidiavad? If he shecht it after the fact, we hand him to eat. Why don't we do that the chatfila? Let him shech without any supervision, and then hand him the meat to eat afterwards. So the Baal Tosafot say, Ein Ochanami, that could have worked, but we don't allow him to do this because we're fearful that if we do allow that, then either one of two things is going to happen. Either he's not going to do the test. If we allow him to shech without doing this, people will forget, and then they won't hand him the meat to eat. If they don't hand him the meat to eat, the test fails. So we're either fearful of the fact that you're actually not going to carry out the test, or the other possibility is that we're fearful of other people watching you do this, and then they will come to believe that chatchila, you're allowed to hand it over to this individual. And that's why we worry about it, because other people will see this, and then they'll think you're allowed to hand it to a kuti to shech without supervising him, and they won't realize the only reason you did it is because you're handing the meat afterwards. So we don't use this as the primary test, or the primary way to make it kosher with the kuti, but nevertheless, we do use it bidiavad in a situation where we don't know what happened. Then, chutz mecher shoteh v'katan, dafil diavad nami lo, that for them, even bidiavad, it doesn't help, because shema yishahu, shema yidrusu, shema yachlidu, because maybe they will do one of the three out of five possible sulim inside of shechita, they'll do one of these three, as we discussed yesterday in the Baal Tosafot, the other two that they leave out are things that you can check after the fact. And so therefore you don't need to know. These are items where you wouldn't know if they did it improperly. You would have no idea if they tarried during the shechita, they slowed down, or if they did achlada, or if they did drisa, because those are not things that are visible after the Shechita. Whereas Ikur and Hagrama are things that you can test or look at after the fact and know. But for these three, you can't know. And since these are individuals who generally are Mikalkel in areas of Halakha, they're not Bardat, so there are problems with their Shechita. But then, the last part of the Mishnah, which is V'chulan Sheshachtu, that anyone who does Shechita with supervision over them, Shechitatan Kshera, ahai. What is that going on? What is that referencing to? Ilema Cherishotev Katan. If it's going to Cherishotev Katan, this is the same question we asked of Rabba Barula, then Alakoi. That's what the Mishnah is speaking about. They are the subject of the Mishnah previous to this. Vim Shachatu Mibayile. Then the Mishnah should have continued, not V'chulan Sheshachtu, which makes it sound like there's a new subject for that third section of the Mishnah. Rather, it should say V'im, if they. It's an implicit subject, which would be the previous part of the Mishnah, which would be Chereshote V'Katan. So you just should have continued V'im Shachatu. If they did the Shechita, then with supervision, it would be fine. The fact that it doesn't word it that way and says V'chulan Sheshachtu makes it sound like there's a new subject here, something beyond the Chereshote V'Katan. Not to say that it doesn't cover Chereshote V'Katan, but it seems to include more than just Chereshote V'Katan. So what is that that they are doing? Ela Akuti? So you want to suggest, speaking about Akuti, Ha'amart, Kishisrael Gomed Ab Gabav, Shachit V'Afilu Chatfila. That's the way you explained the first part of the Mishnah, that when you have supervision standing over him, then that's kosher even the Chatfila. The latter part of the Mishnah, the third section, is only kosher B'Diavad. Where it says Kasha. That part of the Mishnah will be problematic or difficult for Abaye to explain. Amar Rava. Rava comes along and challenges Abaye's assumption here that the only way that supervision works for a kuti is if you have someone, Omed al Gavav, literally standing over him, hovering over him. But Yotze v'nichnas doesn't work. If you're coming in and out, that won't work. And Rava challenges that and says, V'yotze v'nichnas l'chadchila lo? Is that really true? That Yotze v'nichnas is not sufficient when you need supervision? That's none. We have Mishnayot in Avodah Zarah that seem to indicate otherwise. Haminiach Obed Kuchavim b'chanuto, person who leaves in Obed Kuchavim working in the store. Bisrael Yotze v'nichnas, and the Jew or the owner is going in and out to spot check on him. Mutar, the wine that is in the store is mutar, because he's fearful that he'll get caught if he's touching the wine or doing something with the wine. The fact that he can be spot-checked, he's always fearful. He says, atiba, atiba. He's coming now, he's coming now. And that leaves him with a certain amount of fear that he won't do something untoward. So, hotam, mitani, meniach. The way the Mishnah is written doesn't say meniach, that you should leave the goy that way. It says, hameniach, tani. That if you did leave the goy that way, that diavad, that's only bidiavad, it works. Or at least the Lashona Mishnah seems to indicate it's only if this was the case, then you can rely on the fact that it was Yotze v'nichnas. It doesn't tell you, leave the goy this way. So you can't prove anything from that Mishnah. The Baal Tosafot deal with the Lashon of Eminiach. Tovah points out that the word Eminiach cannot mean only Bidiavad, because the Gemara in 1 second is going to prove to us that this din is even true lechatchila. So you have to read the Gemara as saying Eminiach. It's not exclusively lechatchila. It could mean Bidiavad. If that's the case, you can't prove anything from the Lashon of Mishnah. But not to say that the Lashon of Eminiach is exclusively Bidiavad. The second thing that the Baal Tosafot will point out is that this question from the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah is a question on Rava's premise that Yotze v'Nichnas is sufficient to Chatchila. It is not an answer or dealing with the Shita of Abaye. Abaye says above that only Omed al Gavav is sufficient. Yotze v'Nichnas doesn't work. He says the Gemara here, when it says that Heminiach is Lashon Bidiavad, that's not answering for Abaye, why Abaye said Omed al Gavav only, and not Yotze v'Nichnas. Because technically, if that was really the case, Abaye could have explained the Mishnah in that manner, which is to say that the Chatchila is Omed al Gavav, and Bidiavad, it's a case of Yotze v'Nichnas. The fact that he doesn't explain it that way, first of all, shows you that that's not what the Gemara thinks, or is indicating. But also, Inami, Kozman Shechol Takein, Yidei Chotech Tzai Basar, Yeshlo Takein. Tosfot then, on the other hand, says, maybe not. Maybe it is defense of Abaye. And Bidiavad, it would have worked. So then how come we don't read the Mishnah that way? The first piece of the Mishnah should have been when Omed al Gabav. Second piece of the Mishnah should have been Yotze v'Nichnas. That would be the Chatchila and Bidiavad. Why don't we explain the Mishnah that way? He says, because, and this is a refrain that comes up numerous times in Tosafot and the Rishonim over here, which is that if you have a better option or a better test, why rely on certain dispensations. The dispensations of Yotzei V'Nichnas, which is Mirta, the person is fearful, that still relies on a certain human psychology. So why rely on that when I have the option to hand him a piece of meat and have him eat it? That'd be a much clearer way to come to a conclusion that whatever Yishek did was good. So Tosafot says, maybe that's what Abaye is saying. If you have an option to give him meat, or to use this reliance on Yotzei V'Nichnas B'diavad, I'd rather you hand him a piece of meat than be rely on Yotzei V'Nichnas B'diavad. So even though maybe B'diavad it would have worked, nevertheless, I have a better test over here. I would invoke that better test because then I get more clarity in the situation. So that's the way the Bali Tosafot explain the Heminiach over here. Though the Ritva rejects that latter explanation of the Bali Tosafot because he then says, then we have an explanation for the Mishnah B'diavad in that situation. That's basically what you've created according to the Bali Tosafot. And even though, yes, it's better to check by giving him the basar, but if you don't have that, and he's not in front of us, if you're going to rely on Yotzei V'Nichnas B'diavad, then that would be the explanation of the Mishnah. And therefore, the fact that Baye didn't do that shows you that that's not what he subscribes to. The Gemara says, Ela Me'ocha, we have another Mishnah in Avodah Zarah, Eina Shomer Tzarich Liot Yoshev U'Mishamer. The Shomer doesn't have to sit there and watch all the time. Ela Afapish Yotzei V'Nichnas Mutar. Even though he's spot-checking, going in and out, that's enough. So here, again, you have someone who's supposed to be guarding against a kuti or a goy coming into contact with the yayin. And we say that even if he's not there all the time, if he's Yotzei V'Nichnas, that's enough of a deterrence for those individuals. And it works. So now here, you see that it is lechatchila. We don't say over here, hemeniach. But you say, in a shomer tzarich liot yoshev, you don't have to do this. You can walk away from there. That's what it's saying. Even in lashon lechatchila. Even though the Bali Tosafot say that in other places, like in Gittin, we use the word tzarich to mean bidyavad and not lechatchila, he says it depends on the context of the Mishnah or the context in which it's written. And over here, in the context of the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah, it makes the most sense to explain tzarich as being lechatchila. And so therefore, the Gemara views this as being lechatchila, Yotzei V'Nichnas works. Elama Rava, so now once we've proven Rava's position, which is correct, that Yotzei V'Nichnas is sufficient, you don't need Omer al Gabav, then he explains the Mishnah in the following way. Hachiktani, hakol shochatim lechatchila, v'afilu kuti, even a kuti can do it, b'med v'im amurim k'shisrael yotzei v'nichnas. That's only true when you have a yotzei v'nichnas. Aval ba u'mitzao sheshachat, it becomes after the fact, and he finds that he already did the shechita, chotech k'zayet basar v'notein lo. Then you cut off a piece of meat and hand it to him, achalom, he eats it, then mutar le'achol mishchitato, then you can eat the shechita, lo achalo, if he doesn't eat it, asur le'achol mishchitato. The exception of Becher Shotev Katan, Afilu Diavad Nami Lo, that even B'Diavad, that is not acceptable Shechita, Shema Yishahu, Shema Yidrisu, Shema Yachlidu, because of the fears that we have that they will be Mekalkel, they will ruin the Shechita, meaning that we have a Chazokah with regards to their Shechitot, that in all likelihood they're going to be Mekalkel, these Shechita, because of these problems, these technical problems in the Shechita, which first of all we can't check with them because they're not B'nai Dat, but also we can't rely on them because they're not B'nai Dat with regard to these issues. And then, Vikulan Shishachatu, the last part of the Mishnah, Ahai, what is that a reference to? Ilim HaKharishotev Katan, if it's referencing back to HaKharishotev Katan, Allah Kai. That's what the Mishnah was speaking about, then it should have continued, Ve'im Shachatu Mibayle. Ela akuti, it's going akuti. Ha'amaret, afil Yotzei V'Nichnas, shochid lechatchila. You just said it, Yotzei V'Nichnas is enough. Why do you have to have someone who made al gabav? Kasha. Once again, that part of the Mishnah is difficult according to the explanation of Rava. So Rava and Abaye basically have the same explanation in general of the Mishnah. The only difference is, what type of supervision does the kuti need in the beginning to be lechatchila? According to Abaye, it has to be omed al gabav. According to Rava, it's Yotzei V'Nichnas is sufficient. They explain the rest of the Mishnah similarly, and they both have a problem with the last part of the Mishnah, which is, who is included beyond the Chereshot Tevekadan, when it says, V'kulan Sheshachatu. So then now we have Rav Ashi brings the fourth interpretation as to how to explain the Mishnah. Rav Ashi Amar Hachiktani, Akol Shochatin, Va'afilu Yisrael Mumar. Anybody can do Shechita, even a Jew who is a Mumar, means that he doesn't keep the Halachot, but he's a mumar, the mai. What are exactly the halachot he doesn't keep? And what are the motivations behind his not keeping the halacha? Gemara says, lechol nevelot l'teavon. He's a mumar to eat nevelot l'teavon. Meaning that he's not doing it out of some religious motivation where he says he doesn't believe or he's anti-religious. It's simply that it's a matter of desire. He loves to eat meat. He can't contain himself. He can't control himself. But if he has a choice between kosher meat and non-kosher meat, of course he would eat kosher meat. Just a matter of whether he will make the efforts to get kosher meat when it's not available. So what we assume is if he's indifferent when there is kosher meat and non-kosher meat, and therefore he'll take the kosher meat because there's no reason. He's not, on principle, adverse to eating kosher meat. And so therefore he's not going to bedavka eat the non-kosher meat. So if he has a choice, he'll eat the kosher meat. But if it requires any effort or exertion on his part, he's not going to make that effort, that exertion to get it. And then kederova. And like Rava, which is interesting, and the Gemara will ask that later, here's Rav Ashi is invoking Rava to explain the Mishnah. Why didn't Rava just explain it like himself? But uche de Rava, de Amar, Rava, Yisrael Mumar, ochel nevelot de teavon, Yisrael Mumar, who eats nevelot because he can't control himself, then bodek sakin vinotenlo. You can check the knife and hand it to him. Umutar lechol mishchitato. And then you can eat a shchita afterwards. Aval lo badak. If you don't check the knife, v'natan lo, lo yishchot. And it was given to him, he shouldn't do the shchita, we shouldn't have let him do the shchita. V'im shachat, if he did do the shchita, bodek sakino acharav. Then you check the knife after the fact. Nimtzei tzakino yafeh, mutar, lechol mishchitato. If you find the knife is totally smooth and has no problems with it, then we allow you to eat from the shchita. V'im lav, if not, asur lechol mishchitato. Then you can't eat from his shchita. Because again, we would assume that he would not have made the effort to make sure that the knife is clean. That's extra effort. That's extra exertion. If he finds the knife, if he himself checked the knife before and found a little pagam in it, he's not going to bother to go get another knife or to do this because he doesn't care enough. He's driven by his desires, not by his adherence to halacha. And so therefore, he would ignore the issue. He won't be so careful with this issue. But if you check afterwards and the knife is fine, he's not going to intentionally make something into a trefa. He's not going to intentionally ruin something. And so therefore you can trust that he did the shechita properly. And we assume he's not going to cause problems for other people where he has no hana from it. He has no vested interest. This person is gluttonous. This person is driven by his desires, by his hanaot. But that's the only motivation that he has. If it is not being satisfied in any way, then we can trust him to do the right thing in these situations. Again, he's indifferent between kosher and non-kosher meat if it doesn't require any more effort. So he did the shechita. If the knife was fine and doesn't require any more effort, he'll get kosher meat and he'd eat the kosher meat. So that's why we can trust him. As opposed, as Rashi says, to a mumer lahachis, who will intentionally feed people non-kosher meat, will intentionally be posel the shechita, because he is on principle against that which is religiously motivated, against the halacha on principle. And therefore you'll do things to undermine the halacha and even cause you to do the wrong thing. Now, chutz micheres shoteh v'katan, that part of the Mishnah, da'afilu di'avad namilo, that even di'avad you can't trust them, shemi yishahu, shemi yidrisu, shemi yachlidu, for the problem that we've seen all along, that we worry about their ability to adhere to the halacha, and that they, ala rov, they have a chazaka l'kalkel to ruin things. V'kulan sheshachtu, ahai. Once again, that part of the Mishnah that says v'kulan sheshachtu, on what is that going on? What is that referencing to? Ilei macher shoteh v'katan, if it's cher shoteh v'katan, alakai. That's where the Mishnah is found. That's the subject of the Mishnah at that point. It should have just continued, v'im shachatu, mi bayilei. The fact that it didn't shows you that we're speaking about someone else. Ele Yisrael Mumar. Speaking about Yisrael Mumar, either badak sakin, v'notein lo. If he checked the sakin and gave it to him, that's enough. You already said that's enough to do the chatkila. Why do you need to be standing over him? You just need to check the knife. Ella delo badak. Well, if it's a case where you didn't check the knife, idi iti le sakin. If the sakin is still available, live to kehasha. Check it now. Vidi leite le sakin. If there is no knife available to check at this point, ki acherim roim oto my havi. Just because someone else saw him do the shkita, why does that help? Dilma b'sakin b'guma shachit. How do you know what type of knife he's using? Just because you saw him shack the animal and it looks like he did a good shkita, you have no idea of the quality of the knife, the sharpness of the knife, and whether it was a knife that was permissible to use. And therefore, kasha, for these three explanations, Abai, Rava, and now Rav Ashi, we have all three of them have a problem with that last piece, the third section of the Mishnah of Kulan Sheshachatu. Who is that referring to? Where does supervision help you out, at least to get across the line that b'diavad, it's okay? Again, Rabbi Ba'ula said that was a case where you had tamei b'mukdashim. There we allow with supervision to eat it if the person's not around, to tell you burily that I'm clear that he didn't touch it. So then instead of him doing that, we have others who watched him. We can rely on their testimony or their supervision to say that it's fine. But these three explanations don't have a way to explain who are the additional individuals who are added on top of Chereshul Tevet Katan, where we have supervision would help in that situation. The Baal Tosafot asks an interesting question here from two perspectives. The one perspective is, how come we don't check the knife of the Kuti according to Abaye and Rava? Abaye and Rava say, a Kuti goes and does Shechita, if you're standing over him, if you're supervising him, it's fine. So then, why over there we do not demand that you actually check the knife? That's one side. On the other side, how come we need supervision for the Kuti, and we don't need the supervision for the Mumar, Ochol Neveolot HaTeavon? How come checking the knife is enough, and you don't need anything more than that? Tosafot asks that from both perspectives. Why is it by the Kuti, you don't check the knife, and you do need to supervise, and by the Mumar HaTeavon, you need to check the knife and not to supervise? Why is there a difference between them? The answer that he gives is interesting. He says, Yesh Lomar, Yisrael Mumar Lo Mitrat, that Yisrael Mumar is not fearful. He doesn't think they're going to check the sakin. In his own eyes, in his own mind, he thinks of himself as a full-fledged Jew. And he thinks that therefore they're going to trust him like a full-fledged Jew. Given that he in his own eyes, he believes that he's a trustworthy individual, doesn't suspect that individuals will come and check the knife afterwards. For that reason, you need to check the knife afterwards. Yotzei v'nichnas, or the fear of being caught, is not enough by him because he doesn't have that fear. The Kuti has the fear. The Jew doesn't believe that they're going to check him. Doesn't think they're going to spot check whatever he's doing. And therefore, even if you're Yotzei v'nichnas, that doesn't produce the result that we want, which is him to be fearful of doing the wrong thing. And so therefore, it doesn't work. The whole reason that Yotzei v'nichnas works is because the guy's fearful. If he's not fearful, then it defeats the purpose of having Yotzei v'nichnas. So that's the one side of it. And Tosafot says, the fact that the Kuti is afraid with the Yotzei v'nichnas is enough of a reason why he don't need to check his knife. That fear makes it that he will check the knife because he doesn't want to get caught with a knife that's not proper, because he knows that the Jew then will reject his shechita and not eat from him. So he has enough mirta there that we don't check the knife. And Ben Lach showed, Demai tzarech lechatchilo libdok asakin b'mumar. How come you have to check the knife beforehand? Why don't you just check the knife afterwards? And similarly with the Kuti, why do we have a Yotzei v'nichnas there and not just afterwards hand him the piece of meat and see if he eats it? Both cases, after the fact, you can check the information. Why don't we just do it after the fact? Why do you do it beforehand? So this is what we spoke about before. Our fear is that he might just eat it. Meaning that you'll forget to do the check afterwards. If we tell you up front, you need to do this, then the person will do it, and they won't forget about it. But once the meat's already shechted, and they give it to you, and they're busy working with it, you might just come to eat it or use it, and forget that you need to hand a piece to the Kuti, or forget that you need to check the knife of the Mumar. So we'd rather you do that ahead of time, so that we know for sure that it's been done correctly, rather than rely on that lechatchila. B'diavad, that's a way we can deal with it. But lechatchila, we'd rather that the checks work ahead of time. So that's the view of the Baal Tosafot, that we're dealing with silos. That the Kuti just needs Yotzei v'nichnas, doesn't need bedikat sakin because he's fearful. The mumar, Yotzei v'nichnas, is not efficacious because of the fact that it doesn't create mirtat. So therefore you need bedikat sakin. You gotta check the sakin. Again, once you've checked the sakin, we assume that he's gonna do it correctly. And he has no incentive to do it incorrectly because he's only a mumar l'teavon. And if something goes wrong, we rely on him to inform you about that. Because he might eat nevelot, but he's still choshesh for lifnei iver. He won't cause other people to eat nevelot. It's something that has got to do with his desire. He's not religiously motivated where he wants other people to eat non-kosher. He himself can't control himself and he wants to eat right away. But he will prevent other people from doing that. Given that balance, the Baal Tosafot say that the halachot are different by each case. The Ramban argues on this view of the Baal Tosafot and says that the Kuti also does need bedikat sakin. It's assumed that Yotzei v'nichnas means both bedikat sakin and Yotzei v'nichnas. I mean, he requires more checking than the mumar who only requires bedikat sakin. And in that way, he avoids some of the problem. Even though the Gemara itself didn't mention bedikat sakin, he says that there is bedikat sakin by the Kuti as well. Ravina Amar. So now we're up to our fifth attempt to explain the Mishnah. Ravina says, Achiktani, Hakol Shuchatin. Everybody can do Shechita. Akol mumchim shochtim. That, what does that mean? Blichat chila, anybody can do shechita. That means anybody is a mumche. Anybody who's learnt Hilchot Shechita has the right to do Shechita Lechatfila. Mumchim, Afal Pishin Mukzakim. What's the Kiddush? If they all know Hilchot Shechita, why is it that you have to worry about them doing the Chatzchila? It's because they know the Halachot, but they haven't been tested in the field. They've never checked it. We don't have any evidence of the fact that they've actually done Shechitot that are Kshirot. The person, from a knowledge standpoint, has the knowledge of Shechita, so theoretically he knows what to do, but practically we have never seen him do any Shechita. That's in a case where we know he knows Hilchot Shechita, we can rely on it. If we don't know about him that he knows Hilchot Shechita, lo yishkot, then he shouldn't check. If we know he knows Hilchot Shechita, we don't worry or we don't have to check whether he is actually done Shechitot. We rely on the fact that he has the knowledge. And in a case where you don't know if the person is knowledgeable, we wouldn't hand them Shechita. If after the fact this person was shochet, bodkim oto, then you can check him and see if he knows the halachot. If he knows the halachot shechita, then you can rely on that. If he doesn't know the halachot of shechita, then we will not eat from his shechita. So here, we are assuming that once you know halachot shechita, then we're fine with you doing shechita lechatchila. Even if we haven't seen you do it two or three times, to be sure that you're able to and capable to do it, as Rashi says over here, it's not a given just because you have the knowledge of Hilchot Shechita that you can actually do Shechita. We're going to see in the Gemara in a second, but it's clear that there are numerous risks. Those are both what we call physical risks. The capacity of the individual to finish the Shechita, it takes strength, it takes effort. We don't have any evidence that they have the physical capacity to do it. And there's also a mental capacity, which is some people have an adversity to blood or can't handle the process of Shechita. So even though he knows theoretically Halachot Shechita, could be that when he starts to do Shechita, he's going to be impacted by the sight and the gore, and he's going to stop in the middle. He's going to do Shia in the middle, or he's going to run out of steam. So we don't know that about this individual. So that's our fear. That's the possibility. We'd rather have it be that the person knows Hilchot Shechita and we're sure he's got experience with it. That would be the best. But what we're saying here is if he knows Hilchot Shechita, even if we don't know if he has experience or he doesn't have experience, we're going to allow the Shechita lechatchila because the assumption of knowing Halachot is sufficient according to Ravina's view. But in a situation where we don't know if he knows Hilchot Shechita, don't hand him an animal to shech. If he already shechted the animal, then after the fact, we can test to see if he knows Hilchot Shechita. If after the fact he knows them, then we assume that he did it properly up front. But what is not sufficient is if you teach him the Halachot afterwards. If you taught him the Halachot afterwards, then why can't that suffice the same way that if we test him afterwards, he knows Hilchot Shechita, then he will believe that he did a good Shechita all along. Why don't you just teach him the Hilchot Shechita afterwards? If he's knowledgeable, then he'd be able to tell us in retrospect whether he did a good Shechita or didn't do a good Shechita. So over here, the Ritva points out that we don't rely on that because people only pay attention to details or issues that they know about. And that many times you'll do something, and if they have the information after the fact, you can't remember, you can't place it because you weren't focused on that issue when you were doing that action because you weren't aware that it was an issue. So the awareness is important that he has to have the information before he does the Shechita, not after he does the Shechita. And then Ravina continues to explain the Mishnah. For them, even b'diavad, it's problematic, meaning that even if they have the knowledge of the dinim of Shechita, they are still not allowed to hand it over to them to do a Shechita, because they are, as Rashi says, the tamid hei muksakim lekalkel she'en b'hem dat. They will always mess it up. They will always do it incorrectly because they don't have dot. They don't have the mental capacity, even with the knowledge, to necessarily do it correctly. So this is what plagued the last three answers, that last piece of the Mishnah, that with supervision, it's okay. If it's referencing back to what the Mishnah said before, that's the subject of the Mishnah at that point in time. And it should have said, if it's a person that we're not sure that he has the knowledge of Hilchot Shechita, it would be enough to check him after the fact. Just ask him if he has the knowledge of Hilchot Shechita and we'd be done. He's not in front of us to check. We don't know. We don't have him here to ask. So So we don't have him here to ask. If people were supervising his shechita and tell us that they saw a good shechita, that's enough. So Tosfot over here says, Tema, the mashma hita kaman, velo yoda, ein shechitata kshira. So it's interesting. If he's in front of us and we ask him and he says, I don't know hilchot shechita, yet there were people supervising and watching him, Tosfot says, sees from here, achim roto, the shechat shapir, it doesn't work. From our Gemara, you have two choices. You have one choice is you ask him, and he tells you that he's knowledgeable, or we test him, and he's knowledgeable about hilchot shechita. The other option is he's not here, and we had supervisors. The supervisors say we saw him do a good shechita, that's enough. But implied in that is that had it been that he was in front of us, and they came and said, we supervised and we watched the shechita, that would not be sufficient in of itself. The only reason it works over here is because he's not around to ask him. But had we had the information that he doesn't know hilchot shechita, that supervision or standing over him would not be sufficient. And that's what Tosafot says, you would be medayeg out of this Gemara. And then he says, that will affect on Daf Yud Bet, the way that you explain the Gemara over there. And if we know for sure he doesn't know the information, then the shechita is no good. Even though Rashi explains the Gemara there differently, Tosafot says, I'm compelled to explain it this way because of our Gemara. Lack of knowledge is an automatic psul when it comes to a shechita. The Gemara over there says pshita. It's not a question of what the pshita is about. Tosafot says the pshita over there is that if he doesn't know it, it's pshita that it's pasul. Rashi over there says that it's pshita that if you see it, it's mutar. If you don't see it, it's asur. Which means that he thinks that if you're watching, if there's supervision, even though he doesn't know hilchot shechita, that would have been sufficient. So Rashi learns the pshita differently than the Balei Tosafot. But Balei Tosafot are influenced by what their midayek out of Ravina's position over here. And now we have the final explanation of the Mishnah, which is the sixth explanation of the Mishnah, which is Igadamre. It's another version of Ravina. Igadamre Ravina Marhachiktani, Akol Shochatim, Akol Muchzakim Shochatim. Anyone with experience can do Shechita Alechatfila. Muchzakim, Afa Pishim Mumchim. We're suggesting here, what's the Chiddush? If they have experience and they know Ilchot Shechita, of course they can check the Chatfila. So it's a case where they're experienced, but they don't know hilchot shechita. So in that case, we will trust them to do the shechita. When's that true? Sheshakotu lefenenu bet v'gimel pe'amim. They checked it in front of us two or three times. Ve'lo nitalef. And they didn't pass out. Or the way Rashi writes it is that they didn't lose their strength. They didn't lose their stomach. They didn't have chalishut alev. They were not a faint of heart, meaning that we see that they can physically and mentally do this shechita. So once he has experience doing this and we see that he shechs properly, then we let him do the shechita lechatchila. Aval lo shechad lefenenu bet v'gimel pa'amim, if he has never passed the shechita test, doing it in front of us, he doesn't have experience with it, lo yishchot. We don't allow him to do the chatkila, shema yitalef, because we're fearful of the fact that he may not make it through the shechita. V'im shachat, if after the fact he has already done a shechita, ve'amar, bori li shalon yitalefti, he says, it's clear to me that I didn't tire, I wasn't faint of heart, I made it through the shechita, no problem, shechita tok shera. So you can check that after the fact. Tosfot over here then has to deal with what he said before. If we know for sure he doesn't know hilchot shechita, then even if he's experienced, why does that help you at all? So the Balei Tosfot would say here, what does it mean that he doesn't know hilchot shechita? Is perush, delo yadina ni gamir ilo gamir. We just don't know. We don't know if he knows hilchot shechita, I don't know. Then if he has experience and he does shechita, then if we saw him do it two, three times, and we don't know if he knows hilchot shechita, then we will assume that he is good and he knows hilchot shechita. But if we know for sure that he doesn't know hilchot shechita, then even b'diavad, shechita is psula. So this Tosfot, in order to reconcile what he said before, says that it has to be a case where we're uncertain about his knowledge, but we're certain about his experience. That's enough then. But if we are certain about his lack of knowledge, then experience doesn't cover up for the lack of knowledge. The Gemara says then, Chutz micheres shoteh v'katan, tafilu diavad namilo. For them, we don't even trust them b'diavad. Shema yishahu, shema yidrusu, shema yachlidu, because of all the psulim that they could cause in the animal. V'chulan sheshachtu, ahai. Again, v'chulan sheshachtu, what is that referencing to? Ile micheres shoteh v'katan, if it's micheres shoteh v'katan, ala koi. The Mishnah was already speaking about them, and it should have said, "Vim shachatu mi bayle." Ela ashein muchzakim. It's a case when this person doesn't have experience. Vamart, didn't you say to me, "Bebori li sagi"? Isn't it enough if after the fact he tells you that I'm certain that I didn't do anything wrong? I'm certain that I went through without being nitalef. So then why do you have need someone supervising him? Again, deleita lekaman delishale. It's again a case where he's not in front of us to ask him. So then if we have somebody who watched him and saw him do a good shechita, bideavad, that will be sufficient. So one of two ways helps you after the fact. Either him telling us that lo nitalafti, I did it and I'm certain that I did it okay. Or it's a case where someone else watched him. So that can make up for the lack of experience. Experience will allow you to do it lachatkhila, assuming again that we don't know that you have no knowledge of shechita. We're uncertain about that. Experience is enough to do the lachatkhila. If we don't know about your experience, then after the fact, your declaration that you did it and you were no nitalef would be good bidyavad. If you're not here to tell us that information, then we can rely on someone who supervised and said we saw him and he did fine with the shechita. Both of those bidyavad would be sufficient. So those are the six different ways to explain the Mishnah. Now the Gemara is going to explain why each one of those positions didn't accept the other positions. So the Gemara says, Ravina v'Rabba Barula. Ravina and Rabba Barula. Rabba Barula was the first answer about Tamei, and Ravina is the last answer about whether it's experience or knowledge. Ke'abai v'Rabba Ravashi lo Amre. They don't explain the Mishnah like Bai Rabba and Ravashi mishum dekasha lehu v'chulan. Because all of them were left with the problem of the third section of the Mishnah, how do you explain it? We weren't able to explain it according to any one of those three opinions, and each of those cases said, Kasha, it's a problem. So we can understand why Ravina, the two explanations in Ravina, and the one explanation of Rabba Barula would not accept Abai Rova and Ravashi's explanation of the Mishnah. Kulu k'Rabba Barula la Amre. Everybody else didn't subscribe to Rabba Barula's explanation. L'ach lishna da'amart. According to the first Lashon that says, why do we have a duplication of the Mishnah about someone who's Tamei doing Shechita? It's found in Zvachim, it's found here in Chulin. Hacha Ikar, that he said that this is the Ikar Mishnah, and the one in Zvachim was brought down as a Agav, because we are mentioning other Psulim, we mentioned Tamei. Adarabo, just the opposite. Hotam Ikar, the Kodoshim Koi. That Mishnah over there was the Ikar, because that's in Kodoshim. So they don't subscribe to this idea that there should be a repetition of the halacha, because here's the ikar and there was just because of the psulim. They say that's not true. They should have been there as the ikar, and you don't need to duplicate it over here in chulin. According to Lashon that says that mishnah was the ikar. And halacha, I did a tana tamei b'chulin, tani nami b'chutamei b'mukdashim. So because we spoke about tamei b'chulin, it threw in tamei b'mukdashim here, even though it was repetitive. Tamei b'chulin gufei lo itstrichalei. A Tamei that he can check Chulin, I don't even need that information. Chulin shenaseh darat kodesh lav kekodesh domu. The fact that you want to keep the levels of Kedusha and have Tum'ah be impactful on Chulin, that has no impact. There's no such concept. There are machloket as to whether Chulin shenaseh darat kodesh. Is that something real? Is that something that we are choshesh for? Is that something that has impact or a minhag or an isur that really has bearing on this situation? So if you hold yes, then of course the Tamei Shechting Chulin, then there's relevance to that statement. If you hold no, then there's no relevance to the fact that this individual is Shechting Chulin Bituma. Of course he can check the Bituma. Chulin is not subject to any issues of Tuma and Tara. You want to keep it out Tara to Kodesh, we don't believe that that has any impact. You want to do it, that's fine, but we don't believe it has any halachic ramification. And so therefore, there's no reason to state in a Mishnah something that has no halachic meaning. Kulu Karavino Lo Amre. None of them hold like Ravina, the last two answers. According to the Lashon that says, if we know they're knowledgeable, then they should do Shechita. If we don't know they're knowledgeable, don't let them do Shechita. That's because Rov Mitzuim Etzo Shechita Mumchim Heim. The majority of individuals who are found by Shechita are knowledgeable. People don't go to do Shechita unless they know what they're doing. People aren't going to just willy-nilly come in and start saying, yeah, I'm a shochet, I'm going to do shechita. People with knowledge are involved in shechita. People who don't have knowledge, don't put themselves in that position. Don't do shechita. Now, the truth is, you have a number of questions that can be asked about this, one of which is you have a miut over here. Rov know hilchot shechita. A miut don't know hilchot shechita. If you're mitzarif, the miut that doesn't know hilchot shechita, to the chazaka that the animal is asur until the shechita is done properly, then you have a miut with a chazaka, and that would make it 50-50 against the rov. So rov mitzuim etzo shechita shouldn't be sufficient over here in order to render this a moot issue. Because rov is not enough. Because then you have miut and chazak on the other side, and that makes it a 50-50, and that doesn't mean that you can overcome the problem. So either you have to say over here that rov doesn't mean rov, but really means kol. Means that rov is just an expression, but it really means anybody who's found by shkita is a mumche, and we don't worry about it at all. Or you have to say something along the lines of that this is a what's called a rov muchlat, or a miut she'enu matsui, which is that it's such a strong rov. Rov can mean 61%, rov can mean 85%, it can mean 95%. We have a shita of the Tanaim of Rabbi Meir, who's koshesh the miut. He worries about that minority opinion, or minorities in general. Even Rabbi Meir only worries about it when it's a miut matsui, when it's a minority that has statistical significance. But if it's an insignificant minority, then even Rabbi Meir is not choshesh for the miut. And so you have to say the same thing over here. Here it's like a rov muchlat. The miut is so small or so insignificant that we won't be mitzterefit to a chazokah to say that that could even out this situation over here. According to the Ikud Amri in Ravina, who says that experience, if you see this person do shkita a couple of times, that's enough to allow them to do it the chatkila. If they don't have experience, or we don't know that they have experience, we only do it b'diavad. We don't worry about people fainting or people not making it through the shkita. In general, if a person puts themselves up to do the shkita, we're going to assume they're going to get through it or they're going to do it. The fact that they got that far and they're ready to do the shkita, and we assume they have the knowledge of shkita, then we're going to assume they can do it. Obviously, Ravina believes that the two aren't correlated. One's theoretical, one's practical. Someone can know ilchot shkita, but still not be able to carry out the shkita itself. The Ramban points out over here that the Lashon of the Gemara, where it says, Rov mitzuim etzu shkita mumchimein, and then by the case of Lalufe lo cheshinan, the Gemara uses a different formulation. By the case of shkita, it uses a positive formulation, whereas by the case of Lalufe experience, it uses a negative formulation. The Ramban points out that because of that, it means that the other Amoraim who rely on Rov mitzuim etzu shkita mumchimein, that's only a bidyavad reliance. Because if the Gemara wanted to say that the chatchila, we don't worry about this at all, it should have said, Leina mumchim lo chashinan. We don't worry about Eina mumchim. Like they say by Alufe lo chashinan. We don't worry about that issue. The fact that they formulated it in the positive means that it has something that if you can check it, we will ask you to check it. And that means that either we only rely on it if the individual is not in front of us now, but if the individual is here, we will ask him, we will test him, and not just assume that rov mitzuim el shchita are mumchim. So even though we would have let someone, lechatchila, do the shchita without knowing whether they have the knowledge, it still has a requirement of after the fact checking that he has that knowledge. We're less fearful because of the principle of rov mitzuim el shchita mumchim heim, but nevertheless, it's still something that, because you can check it, we don't rely on the rov, we don't rely on the chazaka. And this is a recurring refrain, as I noted before, that where you have the opportunity to check something that is otherwise a dispensation, we're going to ask you to check the matter out. And that's why, as we discuss, when you speak about rov, what does it mean that rubo kukulo? Does rubo kukulo mean, literally, we believe that it's kukulo, and then there's no chashash anymore? Or is rubo kukulo that if we have to make a halachic decision, we're going to opt, or statistically, we're going to say it's kikulo. But if we have the opportunity to check it, then we'd be better off checking it rather than saying rubo kikulo, because there's a miut here that you would be choshesh for. And so therefore, over here, you see that the rov that they're speaking about is a halachic rov in terms of the psak. It's not an actuality. And that is actually a little bit of a tension on what we were stating before, that when we say that it's rov mutziyim el shechita, that it's a rov amuchlat, it's a very strong rov over here, and the shochatim have the chatchila, and they can shecht even the chatchila, even though we don't have the knowledge about whether they have the information or the knowledge about shechita. Though, according to the Geonim and many of the Rishonim, after the fact you do need to test them. Even though there's no requirement beforehand to know that information, after the fact, if he's around, you need to check that information, even though we're dealing with a rov over here. Rava lo amar ke abaye. Rava didn't hold like abaye, ki kashye, like his question. He says, yotzei nichnas is enough, why do you need omeid al gabav? Abaye lo amar ke rava. Abaye says, yotzei nichnas is not enough, and you need omeid al gabav. Hatam lo noga, hacha noga. There's a difference between the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah and the case of Shechita. The Mishnah of Avodah Zarah, the guy never touched the wine. The assumption is that he didn't touch the wine because you're Yotzei V'Nichnas. But we don't have any evidence for the fact that he touched it. He doesn't have his hand in the pot And now we're saying, oh yeah, he didn't do avodah zarah. No, he doesn't have his hand in the pot because he's fearful of ever getting there to touch it. The other hand over here, you're dealing with a case where he's actively involved in the shechita. The kuti is doing the shechita. So in that case, it's not enough with yotzei v'nichnas. Mirta's not enough. You need someone there supervising because this person is actually carrying out the shechita. By the wine, you're trying to prevent him from doing something. Mirta's is enough over there. So that's how Abaye will distinguish between the cases. Ravashi lo amar kitar bayu. Ravashi doesn't subscribe to either of the positions. Kasavar kutim gere arayotein. He believes that kutim were converts under duress and they never really converted with a full heart. And because of that, they're no different than a nachri. And a nachri who has somebody watching them or standing over them is not a kosher shechita. First, people who are kosher b'shechita are only people who are commanded to eat something at shechut. They're kosher l'shechita. A goy is not kosher l'shechita. And so standing over a kuti is not going to help you. That's like standing over a goy. That doesn't do anything for you because they're in gerei arayot. Now, Abaye and Rava clearly then believe that the kutim were then gerei emet, or that they have a status of being gerei emet at some point in time. And even though, as Abaye does point out, that in the Gemara in Yevamot, after the fact, once a ger converts, even if the motives were not correct, or even if they shouldn't have converted, once they have converted, a ger is a ger, and they become a full-fledged Jew. So even if the impetus for their conversion was incorrect, they were doing it for marriage, they were doing it because they were afraid of lions, and they shouldn't have converted, or it shouldn't have been a good conversion, nevertheless, once they've converted, then it's a full-fledged conversion. So even if you believe that they were geri arayot over here, why isn't it after the fact that they are considered to be gerim? And why did then Rav Ashi believe over here that the kutim are geri arayot, and therefore they're disqualified? So the Baal Tosafot point out, when do we say that a conversion with incorrect motives is still considered to be a good conversion? That's only when they are gerim gemurim. Hayiru shemitzgayer legamrei. And they do a full-fledged conversion. So even though the impetus was wrong, but once they did it with a full-hearted conversion. So for instance, they were afraid of the lions, and they converted because of the lions, but they did it full-heartedly, then that would have been a good conversion. But that's not what we find by the kutim. By the kutim, we find, even in the psukim in the Navi, in Malachim Bet, over there it says, et Hashem ayu yireim, bet Elohim ayu ovdim. That even in the outset, when they converted to Judaism, they didn't fully do that. They kept worshipping Avodah Zarah at that time. And so therefore, after the fact, we're not going to say that they're really gerim because there's suspicion about their original conversion as to whether it was a full-fledged conversion. But then that presents a problem for those that say they were gerei emet, because the pasuk testifies that they were not gerei emet, and that's what the Baal Tosafot says over here. Those that believe they were gerei emet, mandamar gerei emetein kasavar shuv nitgaru legamrei, that they went through another conversion afterwards, where they did a full-fledged conversion, a full committed conversion, and so according to those that believe they were converts, it's not based on that original conversion, it's on a later conversion where, after they had already converted, and then they became acclimated with Judaism, then they did a full-fledged conversion where they stopped worshipping Avodah Zarah. Later on, the Gemara will tell us that they were nifsal, the gamrei, because they found that they were worshipping Avodah Zarah on Har Gerizim. And therefore, in the end, even if you believe at one point they were gerei emet, in the end, or at this point today, we believe that they're completely disqualified because they are worshipping Avodah Zarah. Abaye lo amar k'Rav Ashi, lo svir lei. Abaye doesn't hold the Rav Ashi because he doesn't hold the mumar l'teavon, that if you check the knife, it's enough. That's a statement of Rava. Abaye doesn't subscribe to that. Rava, my time alo amar k'shmat today. So here is the last question which we noted before. Ela Rava, my time alo amar k'shmat today. Why doesn't Rava hold like Rav Ashi? Rav Ashi's whole principle is premised on a statement of Rava, that Yisrael mumar ochol nevelot l'teavon, budek sakim enotein lo, umutar lechol mishkidato. That's Rava's statement. Why didn't Rava explain the Mishnah like Rav Ashi did? The Gemara in the end says, L'dvarav d'Abaye kamar. He was explaining, according to you, Abaye, this is the way you would have to explain the Mishnah. If you think this is the right explanation of the Mishnah, you don't have to have a Momed al Gabab, you can have Yotzei v'Nichnas. But now, the Gemara says here, the lay lo sphere lay. Rava doesn't hold of that. Rava would subscribe to Rav Ashi's position. Because as the Baalei Tosafot point out, that cannot be the explanation over here. Because upcoming, we're going to have another Mishnah that says, Akol Shochatim. And Rava is going to explain the reason we have two Akol Shochatims. One is to teach you about a Mumar L'Teavon, and one is to teach you about a Kuti. And Tosafot says, that's actually the question of the Gemara over here, that he should have made the first one Akol Shochatim like Rav Ashi, and the second one like the explanation that it was a Kuti. So it's clear that Rava believes that that is an explanation of the Mishnah. So the lay lo sphirle is probably not a proper lashon over here, and many of the kitveyad, earlier kitveyad, did not have it in it. It's just that he was explaining Abaye's reasoning. In Ochanami, he would explain Rabashi, but later on, Akosh Shochatim is going to explain like Abaye, but in accordance to his version of Abaye, which is Yotzei v'Nichnas. So that Rava rejects it completely, but he does explain it also like Rabashi over here. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the bottom of Gimel Amud Bet.